It's Columbia Morning on News Talk 1400 KFRU. And as I've said on my promo over the weekend, and then also want to do the formal introduction right now, it's a pleasure to have into the studio with our visit today, Kevin McDonald, who is with the University of Missouri System as Chief Diversity Officer and also with the MU campus in Columbia as Vice Chancellor for Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity. I think I've got that right, do I not?
You do.
Welcome. How are you?
I'm very well, thanks. How are you, David?
It's good to have you in the studio with us today. I'm going to start just by rehashing some ground that I think you've covered with a lot of people, but your experience prior to coming to Columbia and then what made it appealing to you to come and do what you're doing here?
I've had great experiences working at public, private institutions, land grants, centralized, decentralized, some that had been dealing with issues of diversity crises, right? So I've felt a bit battle tested. But after interviewing here and coming and meeting community members, both local community members, campus community members, alumni, and seeing their vested interest in this great institution, I felt called to come.
How long ago was that?
Been here for a little bit over a year and a half.
I wondered. I was trying to, time slips past rather quickly sometimes. So a year and a half. In that year and a half, what have you discovered that is similar to other situations that you might be familiar with? And is there anything different than those situations?
Yeah, great question. I think by and large in higher education, we are bringing students, faculty, and staff together with very different lived experiences and perspectives of the world, and we're asking them to live, work, and learn, right? Inherent in that, the research says, are opportunities for conflict. Every campus is dealing with them, and how we equip our students and faculty and staff to navigate their daily interactions, I think, is really what sets institutions apart that are committed to this work. So I think those are things that we find everywhere. Missouri is no different. The university is no different. I'm trying to think if I can honestly say that the one thing that I found that was very different, and I've been in the Maryland, D.C. area and Rochester, New York, Blacksburg, Virginia, was the commitment of this local community. That in and of itself is something I didn't anticipate. Mm-hmm. In such large numbers, and see throughout nonprofit, for-profit organizations, and individual community members. That has been tremendous.
We like to think of ourselves as different, either in a good, most of the time we like to think of it in a good way. So really there is a difference here as far as you're talking about people who speak out on this matter, people who are concerned about the issues.
Yeah, and that want to help, that genuinely want to help and be involved. I think when I came, they were very clear in that, you know, the events of 2015, they felt the institution and the system insulated themselves from the community. The community really wanted to help and engage in ways that would help move efforts around diversity, equity, inclusion forward. So, again, just floored by the overwhelming wave of support.
I find interesting what you just said, because that is, on many different levels, one of the challenges that a university has is to figure out its relationship and how it impacts the community and how the community can impact it.
Absolutely. I think that the connection to the town gown is really vitally important, and especially for our students. We often hear in communities this notion of brain drain, right, that our students get this great academic experiences and then leave. And so that level of commitment to this institution really paves the way for us to be intentional about connecting our students to the passion that is in the community so that they might want to stay.
I went to the university for the first time 40 to 45 years ago. So this question may not be one, I mean, it won't resonate with you, maybe, unless you've studied the history of inclusion and diversity and everything else that you're charged to do and equity. I have no memory at all of that ever being a conversation back when I went to the college. Did I just miss out on something, or is this something that historically we needed to get to a point where it became a conversation? You understand what I'm asking,
sure.
I think.
I think it manifested itself, right? I think it diversity really had different terms. You know, so if you really think historically, we really focused a lot on affirmative action.
Mm-hmm.
And
civil rights.
Yeah, that's right. And notions that were more maybe reactive when we thought about some of those things. And this notion of more proactively thinking about diversity and then inclusion, leveraging that diversity, those are really more new. These are newer kind of concepts, I think, that we're grappling with now.
And see, sadly, what I just said and confessed was that was right after civil rights in the late 60s and things of that nature. But I guess some of us thought, well, we had achieved that and we were done. But I guess if anything, we have learned and continue to learn that we're not done, that we have not achieved that.
Yeah. I mean, if you just look at from a societal standpoint, and particularly for higher education, we focus so much on access. And we felt that if we could increase the compositional diversity, if we could get the numbers up, we would have arrived as an institution. We didn't really think about the support mechanisms needed, right? These supportive pillars to help our faculty, staff, and students navigate their experiences with some level of success, much less some of the other areas like organizational climate, right, and intergroup relations, or preparing our students to graduate as and operate as effective citizens in a global marketplace, or the system and structures within an organization that can serve as impediments to progress. So there are a lot of other aspects of the work that I think have to be meaningfully connected to diversity, inclusion, and equity.
And I would agree with that. I think I'm curious as to your reaction to this. Some of us think access. Once you've got access, hey, you've got the same opportunities that I have. Now, I'm speaking of this as a white man of a certain age. What is the limitation of that? In other words, I think rightfully so, are pleased with the idea of access, pleased with the idea of equal opportunities. But it seems to me to get very complicated then when you, and we're not talking, I don't mean this just as a black-white issue. I'm talking about, you can talk about this sexual identity, you can take it from nationality, you can take it from different points of view. I think we who come from the background that I share, and I think that I'm almost echoing sort of what City Manager Mike Mathis was kind of trying to get across during his presentation at the Diversity Breakfast a month or so ago. We just can't see it. The limitations of saying, well, this exists now, what's the problem?
Yeah. Well, a number of that we could start with, but one would be gaining that access, and the road to gaining that access could be very different, right? Mm-hmm. One could be very paved, one could be very rocky with gravel. And I think of my own experience coming from East Cleveland, coming through underfunded schools. Right. And yeah. I succeeded in spite of, but I also succeeded because of not just doors being open, but because of important mentors or support mechanisms that helped me navigate spaces that I was unfamiliar. We have to do the same thing, regardless of whether our constituency are coming from the rural or urban kind of cores. They have their own lived experiences. Some helped and some may have served as hindrances. And we have to make sure that we have the support mechanisms. So I think there's some big pieces that if we look beyond just this notion of access, then we'll see.
No, I think that's a good point, because you're exactly right. You're right. I mean, what has been my road wouldn't have been your road.
Right.
And we have to understand that there are other things that people get. When you get to a certain intersection or a junction in the road, what has been your trip up to that point in time is going to impact how you experience that particular stop.
There's a great case in point from an experience that I had at Rochester Institute of Technology. The graduation rate, Rochester is second in the nation concentrated poverty. The graduation rate, 42%, 5 and 9% for African-American and Latino males. The president had just announced a full tuition scholarship for students who were graduates of the school system and gained admission. When I came into the position, I looked at the first year numbers for those students, and they had about a 2.36 GPA. I said, what happens to the students when they come here? Nothing. They had just given them a scholarship, and they were so excited that they kind of dropped them off and expected them to succeed. We built supportive mechanisms around those students. By the time I had left, those students were outperforming the general population of students, over 3.0. 90-something percent persistence rate, you know, and graduation rates very high. So if you can provide that, they will rise to the level. But I think we have to just make sure that all of our students need support mechanisms.
Yeah, I think that's pretty interesting. That's part of what you do. I mean, that's part of what you're charged to do, correct?
That's right.
Support mechanisms. But it's not the only thing that you're charged to do. Before I ask you some of the other things you do, I want to go back to what you just said. At Rochester, New York, what was the graduation rate?
It was 42% overall.
For all students?
All students.
That's high school graduation rate.
That's right. And 5 and 9% for African American and Latino.
That's incredible.
Yeah.
Why would we ever let that happen? I mean, I can't imagine that ever happening.
Well, I think there are a number, but I kind of started off by saying it was second in the nation in concentrated poverty.
Uh-huh. Right?
So thinking about those systems and structures that are in place, again, serving as impediments to those community members and how they're having to deal with that and still navigate those spaces. We had some students that during the course of a week lived in 3 to 4 to 5 different locations and had to come to school from those different locations, right? So just thinking about, again, the disparity that exists in our society and how can we help community members navigate that?
Yeah, I can't imagine a community. I'm sure they were not at peace with that.
No.
But I don't be interested. Has it improved? Do you know?
I don't know, actually. Wow. I know they started a poverty initiative with community members coming together to say, okay, something has to be done.
That makes me appreciative of what we're doing in this community, more so than I was before. Kevin McDonald is my guest. He's a University of Missouri System Chief Diversity Officer, also serves the MU campus and Columbia's Vice Chancellor for Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity. The what else do you do? I mean, support mechanisms, I think, is what you just talked about. What other things are you charged with doing? How do you do your job? One man doing this job.
Yeah, it feels like with the precision of a surgeon. I mean, I really am trying to connect and engage. If there's one thing that I wanted to do when I came in, engage with our constituency, our faculty, staff, our students, our alumni, and local community members. But one of the first things that I had to do and was charged with doing was really charting a strategic path forward that would be metric-driven, that would kind of connect this work to different areas of organizational functioning at the organization. And so that's where we've organically developed our inclusive excellence framework, and that's where ultimately the community came in to adopt it as well.
Hmm. Explain what that is. I heard what you said. I think I understand what you just said.
Sure.
First of all, you said you're supposed to show what you're going to do and have it so it could be measured and then adopted into the program.
Yeah, it's really developing a roadmap. A roadmap that provides kind of breadcrumbs that we could follow for our institution to move this work forward. And it just recognized, kind of based on our previous conversation around access, that it had to go beyond just access, right? And so it really was something that we vetted in our community. We asked them to help inform it in ways that we could appreciate, endorse as a community to move us forward. So it really basically says that this work is important in our access and success areas, in our relationships, in our preparation for our students who graduate, and in our policies and processes and practices, and in our community engagement. And so that was a fifth area that was added. And it's been great both to see the involvement and engagement of our community with its development, but also, again, to see its receptivity in our local community.
I'm going to jump ahead and then I'm going to come back. How do you know if you've done your job well? In other words, as simply as you could put it, how do you measure what would be success from the diversity officer or inclusion, diversity, and equity? If you reach to the point where you say, my job is no longer needed, where would we be?
Yeah. So I think there are probably a few measures, right? One would be statistically seeing some of our desired metrics go up, maybe seeing our learning outcomes improve, or our composition of our faculty and staff and go up, but also see a level of engagement, right, and receptivity, a sense of belonging that is permeating our community, that they really believe that our community is committed to this work, that we're showing, we're accessible, we're visible, we're transparent, we're not over-promising and under-delivering, and at the end of the day, we're committed to serving this community in the best way that it deems most appropriate. So I think those are things that we can also measure through kind of climate surveys and the like. And I think wanting to improve those things and improve some of the desired learning outcome that our president of our system and our chancellor of the MU campus so strongly desire.
When you use this community, do you mean the community of Columbia or do you mean the campus community?
It's great that you said that. You know, when I first came here, when I said this community, I almost instinctively was referring to our campus community, but but now, just given the level of engagement and involvement, this community for me is broader, right? It's our local community. It's our Boone County. I mean, and if we include the level of engagement from Extension, I was in Sedalia with our head of Extension, and that community was just wonderfully welcoming and, again, really incredibly engaged and supportive of this institution. So it continues to expand with every new place that I visit.
What would be numbers when you talk about metrics, when you talk about numbers? Where are we now with faculty diversity, and where are we headed with that?
Well, I think we've enjoyed one of our largest, incoming classes, if you will, of hires with regard to our underrepresented faculty. I think we've brought in, 28 this year, from a historically underrepresented faculty standpoint. We gave a press conference probably last September, and we said we'd like to move our numbers of underrepresented faculty from 6.7 to 13.4. I think we've improved each year since then. Mm-hmm. Right? And I'm excited about this incoming class because we have 28 this year. I think it was 19 maybe last year and 11 the year before. So we've seen that steady improvement. The biggest key is not bringing them in, right? That's one area. But
holding on to them.
That's right.
Because we're not the only university or college that's asking. Constituents are not asking anything different here than they are in many other universities,
right.
Correct?
And for many of them, they still may be one of a small N in their department. So we have to create a supportive experience for them that they feel valued and respected and engaged and a part of this community to want to stay.
What are we seeing about the diversity of the students?
Well, what I can't say is I'm encouraged because we know that our applications are back up, right? And mm-hmm. so I think the composition of that pool still remains to be discovered and outlined, but I'm excited about that. And I'm also really excited about the engagement of our students. Our students, I remember some of our underrepresented students kind of launching a campaign now saying, say, you belong here, right? So there's a desire and maybe a recognition that there's a greater level of engagement from administration, a greater level of engagement in our community that wants to tackle these issues head on in ways that our community deems most appropriate. And so I've been very fortunate to work with these brilliant students, and I'm excited to continue to move the work forward.
If I came to the University of Missouri in Columbia now as a student fresh out of high school, I'm 19, 18, 19 years old, white guy like I am, what would I experience that would help me perhaps appreciate the diversity that I would find on a campus like this? I was a country kid. I'm 18, almost 19. I'm a freshman at MU. Would I be asked to experience anything that would help me understand diversity?
Yeah, you would. You're reading my mind. You would be introduced to an innovative, interactive experience, almost an onboarding, if you will, called Citizenship at Mizzou, which would engage you in the important values of the institution and how they interrelate and intersect with diversity, inclusion. But you would get that experience through music, with the backdrop of a music, through a student band and through small lecturettes or short lecturettes given by faculty on campus. It's really vanguard, and I'm excited about that. We continue to kind of as we share this particular program, continue to get rave reviews, not just from our students, but from other campuses that said we've never experienced anything like that. And it's really being led by Stephanie Shanahan, a faculty member, chair of the Black Studies, and also a faculty fellow in our Division of Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity.
Does that happen in the enrollment process, or does that happen throughout the first year of campus experiences?
It is a requirement for first year and transfer students.
Hmm. So is it like a course, a semester, or
I would say
it's
more like a workshop.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm. And then that's working well. When did that start?
Gosh, it started probably the spring before my arrival. And it's continued. It continues now. In fact, so successful that they've created a corresponding one for faculty and staff called Citizenship 2.
Interesting. Kevin McDonald is my guest. You're talking about the community and expanding the community from campus to the community itself. What is this? And somebody came back from the mayor's diversity breakfast in January and said something about the passport to inclusive excellence that I think we all have an opportunity to participate in. What is that?
Yeah, it's an exciting effort that started with conversations that I had. I was taken to lunch by some of our leaders in the community. And again, they mentioned this desire to more meaningfully connect with the institution. They wouldn't let me leave this luncheon without a bold idea.
Who were these leaders? Who were you?
We had organizations represented like Central Bank of Boone County and Shelter Insurance and Veterans United, Columbia Public Schools, the Chamber of Commerce, just to name a few, and the leaders of those organizations. And so I talked about this inclusive excellence framework, and I said, well, here's something maybe bold and daring. What if we recreated this inclusive excellence framework, removed the higher ed references from it, and allowed it to serve as a backdrop for our entire city? What if we became the nation's first inclusive excellence city? And they didn't laugh me out the room. In fact, they were intrigued by the idea, connected me with designees and within their organizations, and have been really pleased to partner with diversity awareness partnerships and particularly initially Shelter Insurance and Veterans United and United Way to really move this forward. And so that passport is kind of a birth of that, those kind of conversations. The community basically took and ran with it. They created a site called inclusivejourney.org. And this idea of passports that individuals or organizations could use to kind of stamp their experiences and engagement with diversity and inclusion offerings within the community, that would then culminate to the end of the journey being August 25th when we come together and celebrate that.
August 25th of this year. Mm-hmm. So in other words, what do? I apply for a passport and then I go to events that I probably wouldn't normally go to?
Potentially. And maybe there are events that maybe you have a higher level of engagement. Maybe you've already attended some, but at many, they'll be staffed with tables that would offer you stickers or stamps for your passport. And those passports can be picked up at our local library and the health department, but they also can be applied for right online at inclusivejourney.org.
And I asked you about this, I showed you this. This was attached to the interoffice memo that is sent out late every week from Mike Mathis, the city manager's office. And it says building inclusive communities. Is this part of it?
I think what we've seen now as a result of this journey is that organizations are just being much more intentional about offerings and their connections to this journey that we or that many growing numbers with each passing day are committing ourselves to go on.
When you're looking at your title, Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity, when we think of inclusion, diversity, and equity, what do you think comes to mind? Diversity, I would think race issue. I think diversity right off the bat, and that's limited. Inclusion, I'm not sure. Equity, I would say opportunities for all.
So I think based on people's lived experiences, there are many that look at diversity and define it very narrowly. I'm a bit different. I define it broadly. I define it as the various mix or combinations of human differences. And I do that because it doesn't include or exclude, right, from that standpoint. But what it does allow is for everybody to see themselves as a part of this process. No one can kind of say this includes them and not me. And so I think that's important for me. Inclusion is ultimately leveraging, optimizing, utilizing those differences. How are we doing that in ways that are valuing, respecting, and embracing this work so that people are giving their best selves when they're enter living and learning and working environments on a daily basis? That only makes for productive organizations and communities, right?
And equity?
Equity to me is this notion of fairness. And we, in our offerings, right, in our systems, in our structures, in our policies, equity for all.
Do you think the challenges are as greater, or maybe not as great now as they would have been what I referred to as 40 or 50 years ago? Because some, as I expressed, there are some who say, aren't we past that? Yeah. So does that make the challenge harder now than it was when there needed to be this kind of a reshaping of what it meant to be a citizen of the United States, and we thought civil rights during the Johnson era?
For me, it feels just different, right? I think some of the things are cyclical. They come. There's some things that are still as overt as they've always been, other things that are much more covert, right? These notions of people now talking about microaggressions, right? And this, but what about microaffirmations? Can we focus on this? So just thinking about things that are kind of different in their approach, but really means that your strategies are also now different as we think about. But I think the thing that may be exasperating for many communities is that many are saying, I thought we were done with that. I thought we had reached an understanding, and yet and still these are coming right back around. So
I'll ask this. It might be the last question I have time for. You have read, or maybe you've heard, and I would be surprised if you haven't, that, and I'm talking on a broad scale now, not just specific to MU or UM, the comments that, man, these softies, these pansies, these people on campus now, these students get their feelings hurt way too quickly. They need to learn that, the world's not always going to cater to them and their little whims or their little particular taste and protect them. I guess it's more protection than anything. What do you say to those who would level that criticism at campuses?
So I think that in our professional worlds and your professional experiences, right, or maybe you think about sports, adversity is expected, right? Conflict is inevitable. I think as it relates to your identity and those things that you hold near and dear to your heart that are connected to familial systems, I look at that really differently, right? I mean, they can impact so much of who you are, what you do, what you've grown to become accustomed to and fall in love with, if you will. That can really be difficult to navigate. And I mean, I think about my own experiences having to deal with this notion of my race, right? This notion of being an African-American male, navigating on a very daily basis in ways that many people don't have to, mm-hmm. right? And again, this notion of succeeding in spite of, not because of the level of support or value for who I was and who people thought I would become and not what they thought I wouldn't become, right? And so I look at those as different kind of parts of a coin.
Yeah.
And depending on where you are, at your walk, right, the outcomes could be very different, and your ability to grapple with that can be very different.
I appreciate your time today and your insight helping me to see it, because I think we have to have these conversations, and we have to have an opportunity to see what we're talking about, same subjects, but we see it differently.
Yeah,
thank you so much, because of our experiences. Thank
really
you.
Enjoyed it.
Kevin McDonald has been our guest. Again, he is the University of Missouri System Chief Diversity Officer and also on the MU campus Vice Chancellor for Inclusion, Diversity, and Equity. This is KFRU.